I'll call to order the Senate General Government, Consumer, and Small Business Protection Committee. Colleagues, today is Wednesday, February 12th, and we are here for our last meeting day, and we've got a number of bills that we will generally be going in the order on the agenda, correct? So we'll jump right in just a moment. Chan, is there anything that we need to tee up?
Chair Shields, members of the committee, I would note that we'll do 1522 last. It's listed third on the agenda.
All right. Thank you. That being said, I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 1518. Chana.
Chair Shields, members of the committee, Senate Bill 1518, you heard February 5th. This modifies the definition of supervisory employee for the purposes of public employee collective bargaining law, and it specifies that firefighters who assign, transfer, or direct the work of other employees but do not have the authority to hire, discharge, or impose an economic discipline on others are not supervisory employees. This has a no revenue impact and an indeterminate fiscal impact.
All right. We are in work session. Senator Mona Sanderson.
Chair Shields, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments, correct?
Not on this one. 1518, we're ready to go.
Oh, it has nothing.
Sorry. Right. Yeah.
All right. And it doesn't go to Ways and Means?
Nope.
Okay. All right. So, Chair Shields, I move Senate Bill 1518 to the floor with due pass recommendation.
Senator Mona Sanderson has moved Senate Bill 1518 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Timothy, if you could please call the roll.
Senator Hershiger.
Excused.
Senator Mona Sanderson.
Aye.
Senator Pazanski.
Aye.
Vice Chair George.
Excused.
Chair Shields.
Chair votes aye. 1518 is on the way to the floor, and Senator Beyer will lead the discussion on the floor and carry the bill. I will close the work session on Senate Bill 1518 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1521. Chana.
Chair Schultz, members of the committee, Senate Bill 1521, you heard February 3rd as an informational, so we are now taking public testimony. This is the commercial interior design bill, and after some work and looking at the Department of Consumer and Business Services and among other places to put this, we settled on establishing a work group to look at the appropriate place for licensing and registration of commercial interior designers. So the Dash 1 amendments before you would do that. It would create this work group and charge it with investigating and making recommendations on the development of licensing and registration standards for those practicing commercial interior design, and would require them to report back to the Committee on Small Business no later than February 1, 2015.
Okay, so we had an informational hearing on this early on in the session, but that was not an actual public hearing. So I know that there are strong opinions about this bill. This bill is going to Ways and Means, where, quite frankly, I think it's going to have some challenges. So, everybody calm down about this bill at this particular moment. But it is a public hearing, so I want to make sure that the proponents and the opponents that really feel like they need to testify have the chance to do so. So why don't we call up Ellen Kusick?
Thank you, Senator Shields.
Welcome
and the rest of the committee. I'm here on behalf of IDC Oregon. My name is Ellen Kusick, and I've been practicing interior design in Portland for 15 years. Some of this is repetitive to you guys, sorry. I'm also an educator. I teach at the Art Institute of Portland and Community College. I am a graduate of the Art Institute and NCIDQ certificate holder, legislative chair for IDC Oregon, and a member of IIDA. And we believe, IDC Oregon believes, that establishing a work group is a welcome and necessary step to determine the appropriate place for the Interior Design Board rather than establishing a new one and clarify what regulations should be imposed. The makeup of the work group allows for all the stakeholders to have a voice and to help shape the future of what it means to be a registered interior designer in the state of Oregon. And we look forward to working with our colleagues on creating the best possible solution to fill a gap that we see in the protection of the public health, safety, and welfare in commercial buildings. And thank you for letting me have my voice.
Great. Well done. Thank you, Ellen, for coming forward. Any questions for her? All right. Could we bring up Sharira Smith, please?
Committee members, Mr. Chair, I just want to say, while it's getting into the work group, that
I would question just as
could you identify yourself for the record, please?
I'm Shariar Smith, private citizen. Just wanted to address this matter before heading to the work group. I question the need for regulation and licensure altogether. I've looked at the bill, and the harms it proposes to ameliorate are non-unique. The license and bonding process in many other professions addresses those issues effectively, and the benefits are non-essential to the practice of commercial interior design. At issue is what I see as a concerning concentration of corporate power and, in the bill, power in the hands of an executive through the appointment of a committee. I would just caution the work group to consider the way these processes can privilege the few at the expense of the many, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Question?
Senator Przanski.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Private citizen, what, if any, affiliation do you have to interior design or anything that could be tied to it? Just your comments strike me as being someone that may be on the inside of something.
Well, my mother is a hairstylist in Lake Oswego. Some of her friends work in interior design.
Okay.
Happen to mention.
Yeah, I was just curious.
By all means.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. We have nobody else signed up, so I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1521. And open a work session on Senate Bill 1521. We'll have Senator Mona Sanderson make a motion on the Dash 1 amendments.
Hey, Chair Shields, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 1521.
Senator Mona Sanderson has moved the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 1521. Is there discussion? Is there any objection to the adoption of the amendment? Seeing none, so ordered. Senator Mona Sanderson.
Yes, Chair, I move Senate Bill 1521 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Senator Mona Sanderson moves Senate Bill 1521 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Seeing none. Timothy, would you please call the roll?
Senator Butcher.
Yes.
Senator Mona Sanderson.
Aye.
Senator
Przanski.
Aye.
Vice Chair
George.
No.
Chair Shields.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries and it is on its way to Ways and Means. I will close the work session on Senate Bill 1521 and open a work session on Senate Bill 1567. Chana, tell us where we are.
Chair Shields, members of the committee, this is Senate Bill 1567, which you heard on February 5th. This limits the restoration rights of management service employees, and it, in its original form, establishes an appeal process through the Department of Administrative Services for regular status management service employees. We have under consideration the proposed Dash 1 amendments, which remove the appeals process through DAS from this measure. And it also specifies that restoration rights do not apply to persons who were dismissed for misconduct or some bad act. We do have the paperwork to move it with the Dash 1s.
Okay, so essentially what we're doing is taking the part of this codifying what was agreed to in collective bargaining, taking out the more controversial aspects, which we think might need a little bit more time to percolate.
Yes, Chair Shields.
So, Senator George, do you feel comfortable moving the Dash 1 amendments?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, if I could, I'll move the Dash 1 amendments and vote for the bill. I want to go back through and make sure that all the controversial stuff was taken out, so I reserve the right on the floor to change my vote, but I'll support the chair in this motion. So, Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 1s to Senate Bill 1567, dated February 10th, 2014.
Senator George has moved the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 1567. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so moved. Senator George.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 1567 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator George has moved Senate Bill 1567 to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Timothy, will you please call the roll?
Senator Berger.
Yes.
Senator Mona Sanderson.
Aye.
Senator Przanski.
Aye.
Vice Chair George.
Aye.
Chair Shields.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries, and Senator Edwards will carry this bill. And I will close the work session on Senate Bill 1567 and open work session on Senate Bill 1571. Chana.
Chair Shields, members of the committee, Senate Bill 1571 is your restoration contracting work after a fire. The proposed Dash 1 amendments are before you, and also the proposed Dash 2 amendments. We discussed this on the 10th, and it seemed like there was some confusion over the proposed Dash 2 amendments, so I have developed a small chart to help with this. Specifically, a homeowner has 5 days after the formation of a contract to ask for to rescind the contract. This right to rescind is waivable if the contractor provides a written good faith estimate of the costs of the work. If they do not provide that written, or if they do not provide notice of their right to rescind, the contract is voidable. The contractor must also provide the homeowner with a new or amended contract if the actual costs become greater than the estimated costs. Okay. We have the paperwork on the Dash 1s and the Dash 2s, and both are ready to move.
Okay. And so the Dash 2s were the simpler one that essentially just addressed the right to rescind, and this awesome little chart that Jana has developed will become part of the record as well. We've foregone kind of the more regulatory structure in the Dash 1s because we felt that we wanted to get a step of this done now. We can continue to look at this in future sessions down the road. So that being said, Senator George, do you feel comfortable moving the Dash 2s, the simpler ones?
Sure. Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 2 amendments to Senate Bill 1571.
Senator George moves the Dash 2 amendments to Senate Bill 1571. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator George.
I really appreciate you working with us to kind of get to a bill that is agreeable in this session. So I just want to applaud you for your efforts on that.
Okay. Great. Thanks. And all right. So we are in work session, yes?
Correct.
Did you just move those Dash 2s? Okay. Senator George moved Dash 2 amendments. Is there any discussion, any objections? Seeing none, so moved. Senator George?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 1571 as amended to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Senator George has moved Senate Bill 1571 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Timothy, will you please call the roll?
Senator Berkshire?
Yes.
Senator Montesanderson?
Aye.
Senator Brzozowski?
Aye.
Vice Chair George?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. That bill is on its way to the floor, and I will carry that one on the floor. So I will close the work session on Senate Bill 1571. We'll stand at ease until 3:30, see if there's any ability to keep this next bill alive. So we'll stand at ease. All right, I will bring us back to order. We have not opened a work session on Senate Bill 1522, so I will open a work session on Senate Bill 1522. And actually, I don't know if I had a conversation. We're going to stand. Can we stand at these in the middle of the?
Sure.
Take a recess.
Yeah, let's take a recess again. We are going to come back on the record. Looks like Senate Bill 1522 has a constitutional problem, so we are
not a real bad one.
We are going to close the work session on Senate Bill 1522. And
so, in other words, Mr. Chair, it sounds like we're going to keep status quo, allow it to do what it's going to do into perpetuity, instead of having 180 days that would give some type of benefit.
That's right. I think there were some options there.
I would like to talk with the city.
I'm going to reopen the work session on Senate Bill 1522, and we can all air our dirty laundry here.
You know, I would really like us to keep this open, but I would like to give our police departments more time to gather the data. I don't think that this is a short-term. I didn't think this is a short-term bill. I talked with the city of Gresham this morning, and Police Chief Jenniger just stated that they have just started using this, and they've had stolen vehicle recovery with it, and the serial crimes in picking up suspects. So, but they didn't feel there was enough time to really, weigh in on the length of time. They came out with saying they would like 2 years, but they would 1 year could probably work. And so I just think that this should come back and at least give our police a little bit more time so that they can pull the data together.
Senator Przanski.
I mean, I appreciate the chief and Gresham having his personal position as to what he thinks for his department works. I appreciate that. But also understand that we have the Oregon Chiefs of Police Association that's willing to go forward, understanding that this is a starting point at 180. And it just seems to me that that would be giving some type of protection and understanding as to what the expectations is to limit excess of storage of data, and then we can see it from there. But what we're going to do at this point is we'll just leave it open into perpetuity without having anything move forward.
Mr. Chair.
Senator George.
I think that there's a consensus, most likely 16 votes on the floor, to go to something much more similar to what Virginia has, which is the technology would be available, but they just couldn't keep the data on people who were not in the database as having been offenders. And so what the minority is trying to do is come up with something that would give them time to actually see if there is that they need an opportunity to keep the data. So 3 weeks to find out if they need to keep the data, get into court, and get a subpoena to be able to keep that data is adequate time. There's no reason why we need to keep databases on law-abiding citizens. And so when the law enforcement came in and said they needed 6 months, we allow in the amendments, the dash file amendments, we fixed all of the other issues they asked for. We give them 3 weeks to go through and find this.
That's
and then
21.
We get 21, and then we give them 180 days to be able to keep that information that they can continue to renew if there's a reason. And it seems like to me that at this point, with everything going on, We need to have an awareness that the public is very, very concerned about us keeping the data on law-abiding citizens without any probable cause whatsoever. And I think if we put in the 21 days and that there is a justifiable problem to change it, we come into session every 9 months. And so the Judiciary Committee could come up and say, you know what, after further review, we have a public purpose reason why we need to go to 6 months. Like you said, we need to put sideboards in this right now, but I would rather put the sideboards in the position of protecting the civil liberties and the private information of our citizens rather than giving the police broader police powers with new technology. I'd rather limit the new technology and have them argue why it needs to be expanded rather than the other way around. And I think you have 16 votes on the floor to do it exactly that way, which is the responsible civil libertarian way to do it. And so it's a huge missed opportunity, but I think ultimately what's going to happen is these kind of issues are going to go to the ballot and the public is going to decide these issues.
Well, I do the chair worked his best to figure out if there was common ground to find between law enforcement, the ACLU, and the members of this committee. Unfortunately, we just couldn't get there. So that being said, I will...
Sure. Yeah. I'd like to make comments, too. I mean, I understand the politics of all this and understand the making the stump speeches and et cetera, but the reality is, unless you've actually worked in the law enforcement arena as a prosecutor, knowing the time it takes for one agency to actually may even have not probable cause, but just reasonable suspicion that something has occurred, is going to be more than likely greater than 3 weeks. There are many departments that actually sectionalize out the work, so if you have something that's being done out in the field by patrol officers, by the time it could be logged and data and entered into a system and it goes to a detective unit, it could be 2 weeks at that before they even know what they might even be needing to look at and trying to find out where an individual may have been and whether that is a person that they have enough to even get probable cause, I should say reasonable suspicion, let alone probable cause. And it would be something that would be, at this point, if we're really looking for civil liberties and protection of individuals, right now we have none. And what we could have is 6 months as a starting point. I understand that it sounds great to say, well, we're going to limit it even further. But if you have a family member that has been victimized and they don't have the ability, meaning the police department, to actually do the research in the background and determine whether someone was actually at a various place or plot after they actually make contact with that individual, easily after an interview, 3 weeks have passed and we've lost that opportunity. That's why I think 6 months, 180 days, is a reasonable starting point. And I agree with Senator George that at some point we can come back and see whether that is necessary, and if it's not, to ratchet it back down. But there's going to be a pushback in the sense of where crime cannot be solved, and realizing what the statute of limitations are for these various crimes, 6 months is not unreasonable. Thank you.
All right. I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 1522, and we are adjourned.
We need to get the vote on the bill.